Joseph, and God allowed the Pharaoh all the days of the life of Joseph to be good to the children of Israel. And they were down there in Egypt. But after that, there was another Pharaoh arose, and he put the Israelites in bondage. And so that's where we find them in the beginning of Exodus chapter 1. We find the Israelites in bondage. But one thing he began to see, and one thing he began to realize was, he said, you know, they are growing larger in number. And he began to think, and all he devised an evil plan. He said down in verse 16, the Bible says that he said, talked to the Hebrew midwives and said, when you do service of a midwife to the Hebrew women, or talk to the Egyptians as they did service, he said, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. And boy, they were afraid of this saying, and they should have been. Lord God, this is horrible, that just to kill the child because he's a son, just to make a determination. And I tell you what, it's horrible today for somebody to make a determination whether what sex that child is or whatever, and you decide to abort that baby and you decide to kill that baby. It's just as horrible on the inside of the womb as it on the outside of the womb. It's still murder. Amen. Still murder. But he propagated it this way. He said, you're going to kill that male child when it comes out. You'll let the females live, but you're going to kill the males. And they feared God, the Bible says. Ain't that something? Hey, they heard about the God of Israel, even though they were told of Pharaoh, a godless man, they were told of him to do this. They still knew about the God of Israel, and they feared God, and they wouldn't do that. They cocked up a story and said, you know, they're strong women, and you know, we just we're not doing a good job at killing them and everything. Well, anyhow, there no doubt was many killed though, regardless. And also another thing that he said, verse 22, and this may have gave Moses' mother, I hadn't ever thought about this, but it might have gave her the idea of putting him in the river. Because the Bible says in verse 22 that Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. She said, you're just going to cast them over into the river and just let them drown. If you can't kill them yourself, he said, if you can't kill them yourself with your hands, what we're going to do is you're just going to throw them off in the river and they're going to drown there. But you know, I think when we find this picture of Moses' mother, I really believe that she might have thought about, well, somebody might just see this baby going down the river and think somebody did throw this in the way. Somebody did throw this baby away, but it just happened to fall upon this little bulrush that's laying here, and I'm going to have to take care of this baby. Amen. And thank God that's what happened. Amen? Yeah. I tell you what, think about what happened here. As the Bible tells us that Moses' mother and dad, that they conceived, and they bore him, of course, in verse 2. And the Bible says they saw that he was a goodly child, and they hid him 3 months. First thing I want you to see, I want to talk to you about Moses' mother for a little bit and give you just a few points about her, and hoping mothers can apply it to your life, and us, and every one of us can apply it and think about what we should do as God's people. First of all, we see that she protected him. She protected him. The Bible says there in verse 1 that there was a man of the house of Levi and took a wife to a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived, bare a son, and she saw him. There was a goodly child, and she hid him 3 months. After she had this child, every time there was a footstep of an Egyptian coming by or somebody coming by that way, somehow she went off into another room or a corner somewhere and put that little baby there. And by the hand of God, his mouth was hushed and he didn't cry. And he didn't whimper. Every time for 3 solid months, thank God, that was a protected hand of God with the protective hand of a mother that kept him safe from being killed. I mean, how many times in a period of 90 days could there have been somebody walk by that way, maybe even somebody knock on that door to find out if there was another Hebrew boy that they could kill, another Hebrew boy that they could slay? Oh, how many times did she do something to hide, and then she began to think, you know, and I tell you what, would to God that people would realize. I tell you, somebody says, well, you know, we have to let them grow up and we have to let them sow their wild oats. Hey, you can't find those stinking wild oats in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Bible doesn't say you have to go sow some wild oats. You ought to have enough godliness about you to say, I'm going to protect my children. Amen. I want to see them grow in the admonition of the Lord. Amen. It's more than 3 months. Amen. But this is just a period of time that before God laid something else on her heart and she did something else to hope that this child would grow up and live and not be killed. But for three solid months, and I begin to think, well, you know, he's not walking yet, but he's crawling around a little bit. Amen. Ain't that right? Now we got several. We've got some little ones here. Amen. This morning, or they don't actually have them with them sometime. I mean, bring these babies sometimes and never know where they're at. I mean, you got somebody else to pick them up and carry them around here in the church. Amen. Amen. They ain't going to carry them off, but they love them. Amen. But got these little babies, you know. And after about 3 months, I reckon he's crawling a little bit. He might have been squirming around a little bit. And said, before long, he's going to be crawling. He's going to be walking. I'm not going to be able to hide him. He's going to get away. He's going to be killed. He's going to get away and he's going to be killed like all the other babies that have been slaughtered, all the other male childs that have been slaughtered here down in Egypt. Hey, Egypt's the type of the world, folks. You think about Egypt's the type of the world. Hey, you're raising your children in a world that hates God and that hates this book and hates the Bible, hates God's people. Hey, you're saved by the grace of God. You're not of this world. So, well, there's some things we need to protect them from, praise God. Yes, sir. Amen, there's some things we need to protect them from. Think about this child. Now, I mean, he began to move around and squirm around a little bit. And she said, before long, oh, I'm just not going to be able to hide him anymore. And it had to be before this 3 months was done, though, that she started working on this bull rush. She started working and putting everything together, and she got this slime, she got this pitch, and she got everything together to start making this little basket to put the baby in. And can you imagine this mother that loved her child so much, and she knew she was going to have to give him up. She knew she was going to put him in this little basket, and as she began to make this basket, I could see the tears coming down her eyes. I can see her just to cry and say, I know I'm going to have to put you in this basket, little. But I'm going to just pray that God takes care of you, that God works out something in your life that's much greater than anything I can do. I tell you what, a real mother realizes that there's somebody bigger than her. There's somebody bigger that's in charge and in control. And there's no telling what God's going to do with that little child. There's no telling what God's going to do with that baby. Just a baby now. But one of these days is going to be a man. One of these days is going to be a man that's going to lead the children of Israel out of bondage. She don't know all that. But under the protective hand of God and under the leadership of God, I tell you what, you love the Lord. I mean, the Bible tells us here that they were of the house of Levi, and that was a priestly line, and they knew that God's people ought to be serving Him. They knew that God's people ought to be worshiping the Lord. They knew that God's people ought to be there bringing their sacrifice before God, but they couldn't do that. They couldn't do that in that day. They were restricted in that day. But she knew about the goodness of God. And she knew that God would take care of things. Hey, listen, mother, when you can't take care of something, when it gets out of your control, hey, just realize there's a God in heaven that's in charge and in control, and He can do greater than what you can do. Amen. Listen, not only do we see that she protected him, but secondly, we see she provided for him. She began to, the Bible says in verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she took him an ark, a bulrush, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch. And as I said, she probably began to cry. She probably, tears began to well up in her eyes as she began to build this little basket for Moses to be in. Bible says in the book of Hebrews, in fact, this story is mentioned in the hall of faith there in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us by faith what God did. The Bible says by faith, Moses in verse 24, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, Moses had been hid by his parents. In fact, the verses before that tells us that his parents, and this was a decision at the home there. The Bible tells us there, mostly of the mother, thank God, doing that work and building that basket for her. But over in Hebrews, it tells us that the parents decided to give that child up and do what they did in that day. And I tell you what, we need some godly homes in this day. Amen. I guess I'll save this message for next month. But I tell you what, there's an absence of fathers in homes today. Amen. And I tell you what, sometimes a mother has to step. I want to tell you, we had a good message here to the men, praise God. Yesterday, I had two good messages, but I think about what my cousin closed out with. He began to talk about the home and how that you see the home and the structure of the home is that the man is supposed to be the head of the house. But sometimes they're absent and sometimes they're not the spiritual head of the house like they should be. And you say, what do you do in that case? Well, that mother just keeps on praying. That mother just keeps on loving God. That mother just keeps on being faithful to God. And sometimes, thanks be to God, there's still some spiritual leadership in that home. There's still some guidance in that home because there's a godly mother that has went beyond the call, praise God. And she said, I'm going to take a stand no matter what. Praise God, there's a lot of godly women like that. You may have had a godly mother like that yourself. That she went beyond the call. She went further, maybe even than what was needed in that home or what should have been that home because some things was out of place. But thank God for some godly women that'll take a stand for Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to protect that child. I'm going to provide for that child. The Bible tells us that his parents took and provided for her mother. Think about that. She began to build that basket and, you know, she didn't know where he was going. I mean, the thought was that there's some in the river, and I don't know, maybe what I'm thinking is that maybe she was thinking, well, they know these Hebrew boys are there in the river. And can you imagine, I don't know how many, can you imagine how many little babies were thrown over in that river? Can you imagine how many little baby boys had drowned in that river? But somebody might, she said, hopefully unto God, hopefully somebody will come along and say, there's something happening here greater than me. There's something happening here greater than what Pharaoh's are doing. There's another king on the throne. There's somebody else in charge. Yes. And here's a little baby boy that somebody tried to throw in the river, but it just didn't work. Here's a baby boy that somebody tried to throw in a river, but thank God he fell over in a boat, and God's are taking care of him, and God's are providing for him. Amen. Hey, after she put him in that bulrush, after she put him in that basket boat, so to speak, she had to just take her hands off of him. Praise God. She just took her hands off of him. She was still praying, though. Can you imagine that? Not only do we see that she provided for him and she protected him, but she put him into God's hands. She put him into God's hands. No longer did she have the control over him. No longer was he there at home. Oh, I mean, even though it was just 3 months old, no longer was he there at home. Now he was in the hands of God. And God would let that river flow, and God would let that bulrush go down the river, and he would just be as safe as he could be because now he was in the hands of God. Amen. How we ought to turn things over to God, how we ought to turn our children over to God. I know we fret sometimes when they go astray and they get away from God, but I tell you what, it'd be good if you'd start at 3 months or even earlier putting them in the hands of God. Yeah, amen. Amen. This mother at 3 months old said, I'm going to put him in the hands of God. I'm going to dedicate him to God. I'm going to give him to the Lord and let the Lord take charge and let the Lord take control. Amen. I read of another lady did the same thing over in the book of Samuel. The Bible tells us of Hannah that had prayed that she'd have a child. The Bible says, I mean, she wept so bitterly, she wept so sore. The Bible says she was in bitterness of her soul and she prayed in the Lord and she wept sore. She wept so hard that the man of God, Eli, came by and said, are you sick? What's wrong with you? What's troubling you, woman? And even seeing her, that she was crying, she was I mean, she was weeping and crying before God so much, and her mouth was moving, but she wasn't saying nothing. Oh, that's a picture of over there in the book of Romans where it tells us there's groanings that cannot be uttered. And the Holy Spirit of God, you know, God knew what she was saying. She didn't have to speak it audibly, but God knew what she was saying in her heart. Amen? Hey, she began to pray that she would have a child. The Bible says that she vowed a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, if thou wilt look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and forget not thy handmaiden, but wilt give thy handmaiden a man-child, then I shall give him, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Ain't that a blessing? Say, if you give me a child, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give him back to you. Ain't that a blessing? And I don't think it tells the exact amount of time, but it says when the child was weaned, and it may have been a period like it was with Moses. She took him to the temple. The Bible says that she came to Eli and said, you remember me? You remember me? In a sense, she said, you remember me? I was the one that was a praying back yonder. And I tell you what, before she left the house of God, Eli said, God's going to answer your prayer. And she came back and stood before Eli and knew that God had answered her prayer. And of course, she named the baby Samuel. You know that. The Scripture tells us in verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived and she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. But Hannah went not up, but she said unto her husband when he went up to the temple, said, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. What a beautiful picture of somebody doing just like Moses' mother did. Put him in the hands of God. Put him in the hands of the Lord. Put him there at the house of God. And God raised him up for a great prophet before God. You know the story. But you know what? There had to be a mother, first of all, that said, I'm going to put this child in the hands of God for him to get on the right track, praise God. There had to be a mother in Egypt there that said, I'm going to put this child in the hands of God. If I keep him at the house, he'll no doubt be killed one of these days. But if I put him in your hands, God, well, there's no telling what might happen to him. There's no telling what might happen one of these days. And we know the story. God used him to deliver Israel out of Egypt's bondage. What a blessing. Not only do we see that she protected him, she provided for him, she put him in the hands of God, but fourthly, I want to say that she pointed him in the right direction. Amen. She pointed him in the right direction. Well, let me back up for just a moment and say, God blessed Hannah, just as God blessed her and gave her a goodly child there also, and he became a prophet of God, and God blessed in that way. Hey, God blessed Moses' mother, because the Scripture tells us, and we read the text a while ago, look in the latter part of verse 3, it says that she laid him in the flags by the river banks, and his sister, this was, what was her name, Myra, and Moses' sister was there and began to watch. Stood afar off to wit what would be done. So she watched it all the way. That mother couldn't watch. Bible doesn't tell her she watched. She had done put him in the hands of God. And she said, God, you're in charge and you're in control. And she went back home, no doubt a weeping, and sat there at the house and got on her knees and prayed before God probably that day that God would take care of him. But the inquisitive sister, the sibling, watched and see what might happen. And the Bible tells us in verse 4 that the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself by the river. Hey, you know, there's no accidents with God, is there? Amen. Just at the right time, she was in the right place to stop this baby. I mean, could have went further on down the river and the basket could have turned over and he could have drowned it just like all the other babies. But God sent the daughter of Pharaoh down there to see this baby. And that ain't all he did. Listen, I mean, this is good. Praise God. If you don't shout, I might take a running spell here in a minute. Listen, the Bible says that she said, she walked by the river's banks and she said she saw the ark among the flags and she sent her maid to fetch it. She said, go fetch that basket there. Let's go fetch that boy. When she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. There's something else in the providence of God. Amen. That child, tear coming down his eyes. Lord, that had a hold of her. Amen. That got a hold of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, even though she was raised in that house, the first thing she seen wasn't that it was a Hebrew boy. The first thing she seen was that baby weeping. First thing she seen was just that it's a baby and just it's a man child, and seen it begin to weep. And then God in His providence put everything together. The Bible says that she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. First of all, she was moved with compassion. Then verse 7 said that his sister, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, Moses' sister had been watching all along, and then she comes on up to Pharaoh's daughter after she sees what happened. She waits a little bit and sees what happened and comes up to Pharaoh's daughter, and the Bible says she spoke up. She said, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter called and said, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. So in the providence of God, ain't that something? And I can imagine, hey, boy, Lord God, if she was a weeping and a crying before that, now she might have been, she probably had to hold it back though, amen? I mean, she didn't want to give it away, but Lord God, when she seen that child, she said, whoo! On the inside, she just hollered. Praise God, it might have been on the inside though. Hallelujah, that's my son. That's my boy, praise God. And in the providence of God, here I am going to be. I done put him in the hands of God. But now God gave him back to me to raise. Praise God. Ain't that good? That's just in God's providence. You put something in God's hands, God will take care of it. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You put it in the hands of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen. She began to point him in the right direction. Now listen to verse 9. The Bible says, Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. And she said, sure. Now that ain't in there right there, but that's in the original Hebrew. She said, sure, amen. And I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. The Bible says she was the one that got to raise the child that she gave away. Ain't that a blessing? You know what? I guarantee you, every time that she had the chance, she might have, now you say this song wasn't written, but I think every once in a while she'd sing something to him. Amen. She'd talk to him about the Lord. She'd talk to him about God of Israel. And every time she could, when there wasn't nobody else around, Brother Johnny, she'd tell him about the Lord. Amen. She'd raise him in the right direction, praise God. She had the opportunity to point him in the right direction. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, listen to what he did. The Bible says when he was come to years, he refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Hebrews chapter 11, and it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what he said? He said, my mom's raised me right. I've been pointed in the right direction. And he said, bless God, I ain't going to sow no wild oats. That's what he said. He said, I'm not going to, I tell you what, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to live for God. I'm not going to be, I don't care about the treasures of Egypt. Well, how many folks would that have turned their head? But it didn't Moses. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches of the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect on the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, fearing the wrath of the king, or not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He said, you know what? I see a better king than you, old Pharaoh. I see a greater king than you. I see one that's in charge and in control greater than you. And he began to serve God. He began to live for God. And the scripture tells us, and I'm thankful for what it said. He said he had respect under the recompense of the reward. You know what he said? He said, the reward that the Lord's going to give me is greater than any reward I could have here. Greater than any treasure I could have in this life is the treasures I have that are unseen, praise God. Better than those treasures on this earth. Bible tells us that, don't lay up treasures for yourself. where moth and rust doth corrupt, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Hey, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. Listen, the way he should go. Not necessarily that he's not going to ever go astray, but the training is never going to leave him. You instill something at an early age, you do like Moses' mother did, and you protect him, you provide for him, you put him in the hands of God, and then you steer him in the right direction. He's never going to forget that. He's never going to get away from that. She's never going to get away from that. You put them in the hands of God. Point them in the right direction. I don't understand why in the world. And I know that you know, it's good to be protective in every way. But we don't think about a spiritual protection. I mean, we wouldn't want our kids to be in harm's way. I remember one time, and used to pastor in Belmont, and some of the cars that we had people parked all over the place, and the church began to grow. We had a good problem. We run out of parking, but folks would park behind the church and down by the side, and then my house was beside the church, but across the road was a parking lot also, and every once in a while folk would park over there. Of course, we had to, but I remember one time that Jonathan started headed across the road, and there was a car coming. And I didn't know what was going on, but one of the men was closer to him than I was, and he reached over there and stopped him from going out there in the road. Now, whether he had got out there and whether the car would have stopped or whether he got, I don't know. But he was concerned about protecting him, and I was too, but I didn't know. I wasn't close enough to reach out there and stop him from walking out there in the road, unbeknownst there was a car coming across that road. And I mean, who among us, especially a mother, would not be concerned about protecting the life of that child? And I mean, I know there's some, but you know, I mean, for the most part, think about it. You don't want them to be in harm's way. You don't want them to get hurt. And you cry. I mean, Lord God, mothers cry a whole lot more than fathers do. I mean, when they have him little scrapes, you know, have him little scrapes and bumps and that, especially boys. I say them boys will be all right. Mama will cry and get, they know Mama's going to go get them a Band-Aid, though. Where's Joshua at? Joshua, yesterday his foot was hurting. Now, it's just the men here. His foot was hurting. He said, go get a Band-Aid. I said, you going to wait till after service. You just sit there. Mama probably got him one. But you know what? One of these days, they're going to spend an eternity somewhere. And it's going to be heaven or hell. There's no in between. There's no other choices. They're going to spend an eternity in heaven or hell. Shouldn't we be as much concerned or more concerned about their spiritual well-being? Amen. Hey, we can stop and preach there for a good while, but I tell you what. You know, hey, listen, you know what's right, and you know you ought to be leading them in the right way. We ought to do everything we can to point them in the right direction by our example and everything we do, praise God. But last of all, let me give you this, and I'm done. Let me say, not only she protected him, she provided for him, she put him in the hands of God, she pointed him in the right direction, but lastly, she was prospered by God for what she did. There ain't no way in the world. I tell you what, if she'd have wrote this thing out, Brother Johnny, there's no way in the world. First of all, I don't think, she probably thought, when Moses was 3 months old, she probably thought, this is standing on the banks of that river, this is the last time I'll ever see that baby. This is the last time I'll ever see that boy. But it wasn't but just a few moments later. Amen. Wasn't but just a few moments later. And her daughter was a-coming saying, Hey, you ain't going to believe what happened, Mama. You ain't going to believe it. Pharaoh's daughter, I mean, you ain't going to believe it. My brother's in there in the palace, praise God. And you get to come. I get to come. What are you talking about? She's calling for somebody to take care of it. She's calling for a maid. And so she runs and she goes there and everything. She never thought that happened. She never thought she'd see him again. She never thought she'd be able to raise him. She never thought she'd be able to take care of him. And I guarantee you, she never thought about money. But listen to this. Look here. The Bible tells us there in the latter part of verse 9, it said that it said, "Take this child away and nurse it for me." This is Pharaoh's daughter talking to the mother. It said, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the mother took the child and nursed it. Now, ain't that just God? I mean, only God can do that. Said, "Listen, you're going to get paid for raising your own boy." In the house of Pharaoh that's been killing all these youngins. Amen. You're going to get paid by him. The one that wants them dead and killed, he's going to pay you. Only God can do that, folks. I don't believe it would happen if she hadn't put him in the hands of God. I don't believe it would happen if she didn't protect him and provide for him. And then she got to train him. And on top of that, God prospered her. Praise the Lord. That's what the Bible says about a virtuous woman. Let me read you a couple of verses here and I'm done. Proverbs 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" In verse 10. "For her price is far above rubies." Verse 30 says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." Much could be said, praise God, about the mother of Moses, willing to just put him in the hands of God. And then God prospered her and blessed her along the way. Ain't that good? Amen. That's what my God can do. Amen. If we just trust Him. Problem is sometimes we just don't trust Him like we should. But if we do, praise God, He'll work everything out for His glory and for His honor. I'm going to ask musicians to come around. God knows your heart. And if God's dealing with your heart, you want to come around and pray. Wherever the need might be, you obey the Lord. There might be somebody here that doesn't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Listen.